We bring in Adria Goins of KSLA in Shreveport, and Adria got to cover the Super Bowl last night. Adria, how are you? Let me turn your phone on. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
Doing well. How was the halftime show? Was it as good in live as it was on TV?
Yeah, it was. It was wonderful. I really enjoyed watching it. Of course, I was a big Destiny Child fan, so it was nice to see them participating and coming up and getting to be part of the show. It was fantastic, and I really do believe that that caused the power outage at the Super Bowl.
In your investigative reporting, you say it was the halftime act that caused it?
Was the rumor true that it happened twice during rehearsals?
You know, I'm not for sure on that, actually. I don't know.
Heard. We'll get her back. I heard a couple times the room. You know, all the stuff's coming out, but who knows? I'm sure we'll get an official what actually happened. But I heard in the rehearsals a couple times that they had some issues with that with her show because it was using a lot of theatrics and
it
power
was
stuff.
That and a lot of fire, pyrotechnics. During the act, but you're right. Let's go back to the Sterner and Havis Agency Hotline. Adria Goins joins us again. Adria, I don't know what happened, but you must have been driving somewhere and your signal just went out.
Well, my phone actually just decided to go dead for some reason. I had perfect signal and everything, and all of a sudden my phone was dead. I think it took me about 5 minutes to realize it because I was just talking right along. And
sort of like the lights last night in the Superdome. They just went
dead.
Exactly.
Exactly. And now, you guys were saying that you heard that the lights had gone out during Beyonce's practices.
Not exactly that they went out, but they did have problems with the power, and that was a concern because some red flags were raised during her rehearsals and stuff is what I had heard. And I was wondering if you heard anything with you being down there.
You know, we didn't hear anything about that, but it was obvious that that was the cause. I mean, anybody would have realized it. You know, it was probably 10 minutes after her performance whenever everything went out. And I actually was down in the media workroom whenever it all happened. And you could see everybody kind of look around and say, what just happened? And then all of these photographers, probably 40 or 50 photographers, grabbed their cameras and went into the corridor to kind of figure out what was going on. That was jet black. All the corridors within the dome were jet black. Of course, they had the backup lights that were on inside the stadium. And luckily, we didn't have much widespread panic because all the fans that were in the corridors getting some nachos or a beer or whatever, they were in jet black for the 30 minutes that the power was out. So it could have been a lot worse than what it was, but they maintained some, you know, calmness. So there wasn't anything that really was majorly, you know, got out of control during the power outage.
It would have been crazy. Say if it's in the middle of a play, a running back breaks a run, he's 15 yards downfield, not tackled yet, probably going to get tackled, lights go out. Do they put time back on the clock and redo that play, or is he down there, you know? Is that like an inadvertent whistle? Because if an official blows his whistle, then he's down there.
Well, that's a good question. It's something for the rules committee, I guess.
Yeah, and they claimed that it was an abnormality. That was the press release, the statement that we were given, that there was an abnormality and that they were going to be investigating the situation and find out what the cause was. But, I mean, come on. You saw her show, her halftime show, and the pyrotechnics and everything that was going on. So it just had to be overloaded back there and it had to be the cause.
I think what happened is as they were disconnecting things from her show to move that out of the dome, that someone obviously flipped a switch that they shouldn't have flipped.
That could have happened, yeah, more than likely. And they talked about several different breakers that were not functioning properly, and so that probably could have been it.
Well, let's get to the game. Your thoughts on the game and how the city of New Orleans handled the whole week. I have been told nothing but good things from people that were down there that the city of New Orleans was doing everything that they could to make this a big-time event like the Super Bowl is. It is a big-time event, and that everybody was pleased up until the point when the power went out.
You know, I don't know if you two have ever been to New Orleans, but it's the most amazing city. It really is. A lot of people, you know, might criticize the city, but it's just so laid back and it's so much fun. And, you know, we did our live shots out front of this bar called the Howling Owl two nights on Thursdays and Fridays. And, you know, we made friends with the bar owner there, and he invited us in for a party that Friday night. And we didn't realize that it was like a private party with Ice Cube and all these people that were playing. And it was just, you know, they were just so kind to everybody. And it was amazing down there. There was a lot of people that were just go out of their way to be nice to you guys. And it was really, really great. It was, it's just amazing. I can't really explain it. It's just they're kind down there, and, they just let you have a lot of fun, and they don't really care about anything, really. It's pretty so laid back. It's great.
I'll agree with you on that. I've been down there a couple times, and they are very hospitable. But what about Joe Flacco? What's the buzz on him now? I know he's kind of wanting a new contract. I believe he has 1 year left. Did you hear anything about what the Ravens plan to do with him?
Well, the word is he asked for $16 million before the season started. And they weren't going to give him that contract. More than likely, I think he said that he wanted $20 million. More than likely, he will be franchised, but he will probably be given that $20 million contract that he wants, because according to the general manager, they want to keep him in Baltimore. They really, really like him. They think that he's earned his money, even though he finally got back to the Super Bowl this year. You know, they fell short a few years in the playoffs. They think he's earned his money, and they love him down there. So I do see him getting the contract that he wants to stay in Baltimore.
You think it'd just be another year that they'll franchise him for 1 year and then try to negotiate something during the season next year? Because I could see it backfiring on him a little bit. They franchise him. They don't have the success next year, which I don't know that they'll have. I don't think they'll win the Super Bowl next year with the, you know, Ray leaving. But I think you got to pay the guy $20 million a year. I think he has deserved, with his play, his playoff performances, that he should be a top five paid quarterback. And that's what a franchise tag is, if I'm right. It's the average of the five players at your position. And is it guaranteed? Do you know that?
Yeah, I don't know that for sure. Okay. I really don't. But I do know they could probably lose a couple of drafts or a couple of picks because of the money situation, because of what it will cost to keep him. But this is very similar to the Drew Brees situation that they had down in New Orleans last year, with him wanting his big contract, and they franchised Drew, and they finally worked out some negotiations to get him the money that he wanted. I don't know if it's going to be as dramatic as that with Joe Flacco. But I do think that could potentially be the situation that he's in with Baltimore Ravens.
Adria, two more questions for you. Does anybody know where Sean Payton was before the lights went out?
I think he was up in one of his suites, or one of the suites that were at the Superdome. He's kind of tried to stay hidden a little bit from the media and everyone since the whole bounty gate started. But you know, they just absolutely love him down there. I can't tell you how many free Sean Payton shirts I saw on fans. And they're glad he stayed in New Orleans and didn't go to Dallas. So they love him down there.
And then second is, you've covered the national championship game with LSU-Alabama last year, and then this, the Super Bowl. Which one tops the charts for you?
As far as the BCS went, I got to get down on the field and shoot the game. You can't do that with the Super Bowl. If you want, the Super Bowl had its perks because you kind of get to sit back and actually enjoy the game and take notes and do those things and not have to go down and shoot every play of the game. That's the great part of the Super Bowl. But the BCS ranks right up there too, because I was in the moment and I was shooting the game and I was down there on the field and I was there for the celebrations. So that part was pretty great. But, you know, they're right there, right next to each other. I would probably say the Super Bowl was the best, because how many times are you ever going to get to do that again? You know, it was actually, I don't know if you have time for a funny story, but
we got about 40 seconds.
Okay, I sat next to this guy that was a reporter from Virginia, an older guy, probably in his late 70s. And he had been to 36 Super Bowls. And he was just one of the coolest guys ever. And you meet people like that, and, you know, it makes it all worth it.
Adria, we appreciate the time. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye, guys.